Why did Christ die? Well, you could say, well, the Jews hated him and they killed him. And Judas betrayed him. You could say, well, the high priest condemned him. And Pilate condemned him. And the Roman soldiers nailed him to a cross. But why did Christ die? With that, I want to start with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for this morning that we can be here again to hear from your word, and I just pray that you would help me to speak clearly. Amen. I'm going to start in John chapter 5. The Gospel of John chapter 5. Now I'm going to be turning to a whole bunch of passages because it's each one of those different points has a different passage I have to go to get the idea. In John chapter 5, reading just three verses, 15 through 18. But I guess I better say a little bit. This is the story of the man that Jesus healed at the pool of Bethesda. And then it says, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. We turn another couple books earlier and go to Luke, Mark. Third chapter of Mark, reading the first few verses. And he entered again into the synagogues, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. So we see very clearly that the Jews hated him. Why did they hate him? We have in the one passage they hated him because he healed on the Sabbath day. And so he broke the Sabbath. We have another passage that they hated him because he said some things that made him equal to God. So they hated him. But I'm going to assert that if Jesus had risen from their ranks, if Jesus had studied underneath Gamaliel as Paul did, and had risen from their ranks, they probably would have liked him. But he didn't. They didn't even get to prepare the way before him. God chose out John, sent him out into the wilderness, and he lived in the wilderness. And he was the man that was chosen to prepare the way before Christ. The Pharisees didn't even get that place. He was from a different camp, and he was challenging who they were. He wasn't just trying to reform a little bit here and there. You know, a Pharisee doesn't mind hard-hitting preaching, as long as the preacher is living a lifestyle that is the same as theirs. Doesn't matter what you say. The problem was not just that Jesus said some things that they didn't like. It was that his lifestyle backed up what he said and condemned theirs. It's okay for a preacher to preach against all the abuses in the church, so long as your lifestyle is such that you don't really expect them to actually change. That's when things get to be a problem. And so for this, the Jews hated him. So much so that they wanted him dead. Matthew 26 starts out, "And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes, and the elders of the people, unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people." How to take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. There's actually one other passage I wanted to read in Luke. It gives a little more idea of why they wanted to kill him. I'm going to actually read quite a number of verses here. "And the Lord said unto him," now, this is verse 39 of Luke 11. "The Lord said unto him, Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, lying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him." Seeking to catch something out of his mouth. And as I said, I believe that even a sermon like this, one of the Pharisees probably could have stood up and preached most everything that he said. And it would have been accepted. Because he would have preached it in such a way that he was just preaching a sermon. He didn't actually expect them to change. Jesus, it was said of him that he spoke as one having authority. He actually expected them to change. And that was offensive to them. But not only did the Jews hate him, but Judas betrayed him. Matthew 26, verses 14 and 15. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver." Imagine being so greedy that you would trade your best friend for a little money. Not only your best friend, but the Son of God. Then verse 47 through 50. "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Not he that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of his Father which is in heaven. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Here we see Judas trying to serve God and money. Jesus tells us very plainly that you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. Else you will cleave to the one and despise the other. We don't have servants and masters in this culture the same way that they did back then. So this doesn't come through into our culture and society as clearly as it did when Jesus spoke it. Because a servant is owned by his master 24/7, 365. Always. You are your master's. As an employee, you have an agreed amount of time that you serve an employer for an agreed amount of money. And the rest of the time, you're yours. So it's easy for you to work two jobs, as long as the times don't overlap. But now imagine trying to work two Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 jobs. It's impossible. You only work one or the other. That's what Jesus is saying. You can't serve two masters. You can't. Not just it won't work very well, but you can't. And which one do you think you're going to quit? Are you going to quit the one that pays the least? I wish that's the way it worked. It might work that way with money, but when this is a story, no. You're going to keep the one that pays the soonest, not the one that pays the most. We need to remember that. Here, Judas took the 30 pieces of silver now and lost his soul for eternity. That's the way we are every time as human beings. We don't take the job that pays the most, we take the one that pays the soonest. So the Jews hated him, and Judas betrayed him. But why did he die? Is that why he died? Matthew 26, verses 51 through 56. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. That's the real reason. So not only did the Jews hate him, not only did Judas betray him, but the high priest condemned him. Matthew 26, verses 57 through 68. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. The high priest condemned him. We need to remember that the easiest person to deceive is one's own self. This man wanted Christ dead. Therefore, he found a reason to do it. He was smarter than this. He knew the prophets. He knew the Old Testament. If he had wanted to, he easily could have recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. But he didn't want to. If you want to do something, the longer you think about it, the righter it will become. Your friends come to you and say, Hey, do such and thus with us. And you say, No, for this, this, and this reason, I'm not gonna. You turn them down, but you still want to do it. Next time they come to you, you're gonna say, No, for this and this reason, I'm not gonna. But you're still gonna want to. Next time they come to you, you're gonna say, For this reason, I'm not gonna. But you still want to. Next time they come to you, you're gonna say, You know, I've said no 3 times already. No. But you're still gonna want to. Next time they come to you, you're gonna say, Never done it before, but I don't really feel like I have any reasons. And you're gonna do it. The longer you want to do something, the more right it becomes. The high priest condemned the Messiah because he wanted to. This is why the Bible tells us to submit ourselves one to another. You have wants, you have desires, and you can't think clearly. But the other person next to you can look objectively at the situation and can tell you, can open up the Bible and can say, No, this, this, and this make that wrong. That's why we have elders in a church. That's why children have parents. Never, if you want to do something, you should probably never decide by yourself if you're gonna or not gonna. Because you probably can't think right. And don't go to your peers. Go to somebody older than you. Go to an elder, an authority. Run it by them. Probably just the idea of asking them will make you realize it's not right. Very often that's the case. So not only did the Jews hate Christ, not only did Judas betray him, but the high priest condemned him. Not only did the high priest condemn him, but Pilate condemned him. And I like the way that Mark has this part of the story rather than Matthew. So I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 15. Reading the first 15 verses. And straightway, in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, whom he had scourged, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. And again, not only if you try to serve God and money will it fail, as Judas did, but if you try to serve God and men, it will fail. And again, you will serve the one that pays the soonest. Pilate was facing these people now, the present, wanting to make them happy. He wasn't going to face God till a later day. He never thought this through and considered it. So he pleased the people now. And if you're trying to please God and men, you will do the same thing. If you are trying to please two people, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are going to please the person you love the most. You are going to end up loving the person that's easiest to please. That's just the way things work. Don't fool yourself into thinking you can try to please man as long as you love God a little bit more. Because in the end, what you will find is your love for man is increasing against your will and you cannot stop it. Because man's easier to please. Because your nature goes along with his. It's what you want to do anyway. Here was a man so bent on pleasing everybody that he lost his own soul. But not only did Pilate condemn him, the Roman soldiers nailed him. Let's begin reading in verse 16 again. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. And began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, The King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, And he was numbered with his transgressors. I get the idea when I read this story that these soldiers were not only doing their job, they were asked to crucify a man, so they did it. I get the feeling that they enjoyed it. I get the feeling that these men were so hardened by battle and blood that they enjoyed pressing a crown of thorns on a man's head, watching the blood gush out. You seem to get the idea that they enjoyed mocking him. That's actually what mocking is all about. And spitting on him. Smiting him on the head with a reed. You get the idea that they enjoyed this. Soldiers in many cultures, and the Roman soldiers were no exception, were known for cruelty. So much for the romance of soldiers. They were cruel men. But it's easy for us to stop and think, what does this have to us? What is this? We just pass over this and like, wow, those are cruel people. But then somebody will read over that and say, wow, those are cruel people, and then they'll go home and they'll get a war movie and they'll put that in and they'll watch a movie about war and enjoy it. Play Halo, play shoot 'em up games and enjoy it. I know what you are. You're a Roman soldier. But I find it interesting. They made a cross from a tree that grew from the light of his son. They made nails out of iron that he spoke into existence. And they took those very nails and nailed him to that cross. Raised him up, and his own laws of gravity hanging on that cross killed him. And there he died for their sin. But is this why he died? Why did Christ die? In John 19, reading to a couple verses here, three verses. Verse 9. This gives us one idea that Mark doesn't record. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 8 of John 19. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Thou couldest have had no power over me, except it was given thee from above. Turn back a few chapters into John chapter 10. Verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received in my Father. Why did Christ die? Because he wanted to. Because God wanted him to. We see this spoken again from another angle in Acts. First in chapter 2, and then it's repeated again in chapter 4. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. In chapter 4, verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined. before to be done. Here we enter into the real reason why Christ died. Sure, the Jews hated him. Sure, Judas betrayed him. Sure, the high priest condemned him. It's true that Pilate also condemned him, and that the Roman soldiers actually nailed him to that cross. But what is the sum of the matter? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's why Christ died. And let's dismiss.